Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. She was Grizabella in three different productions of the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line's Oasis of the Seas. So welcome, Robin Tempest, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Finally, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
I know. We attempted to do this while you were on the ship and failed miserably because of recording remotely. But here we are. You're off the ship.
The run of
Grizabella is currently over, although, you know, you can never rule it out for the future again, right?
Yeah, that's the thing with cats. Like, it kind of buries itself into your life and you're like, never again. And then a year later, you're like, oh, look where I am. Back in cats. Back at the junkyard.
Back in cats. So I usually start this conversation with asking you about your history with the show. But before we do that, we're going to get to that. I want to know. But before we do that, I've been really dying to know. You have done the 90-minute version of Cats, the no intermission cruise line version. And you're the first person I've talked to who's actually been part of it. So I want to know what got cut. Like, what is the 90-minute? Walk me through the 90-minute version.
Okay, let me switch this back on to you. What do you think got cut?
Oh, God. Buster for Jones.
Yeah.
I think Buster for Jones gets cut. I don't think they're going to shorten the ball, but you could, because that's like just such a dance number that you have to do. I'm probably Peaks and Pollicles, maybe?
Yeah, that's gone. See ya. No more back.
And then I don't think there's anything else that, like, everything else feels fairly material to it. And so, like, I don't know where the other hour plus cut comes. Like, I guess you shorten McCavity's song, maybe. There's a lot of intro, but you need the kidnapping scene. Buster for Jones was the obvious easy one, and I know you can cut some of the ensemble cats from dancing, but they don't have songs, so I'm trying to figure out where you cut your song.
So the cast size is still the same, so there's still 22 cats.
Okay.
So the first one that they cut is Buster, correct? Then yep. Peeps and Pollicles is gone. The only thing that they've cut in the ball is there's no British Airways, which is the when they do the boom 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 boom, diddle 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 diddle. But that only that tiny bit. Wow, gosh, it was like you were in the ball then, wasn't it, with my singing of that section of the ball. We transported there. And what else? Gus's aria, Gus, because we did the version that Gus and Jelly do the aria with the pirates and stuff like that, and that's all cut. So it's just like the verse and the chorus of Gus. So Gus's section's really short now. Miss Stoffley's has had like some verses and choruses taken out, so that's not like 40 minutes long now, it's just like a normal song size, but all the dance is still in and everything. Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser have had a verse and a chorus cut out. I think that's about it, to be honest. There's really random bars of music that have been taken out. So, like, intro bars, like, you'll only have one bar of intro instead of two and stuff. So that's a bit, like, messes your mind a bit. But, yeah, just
those. That's so interesting. So only Bustafer, Peaks and Pockles, and then the Growl Tiger, I guess. That's the part.
Yeah.
But that was cut in the most recent, like, the current tour and the most recent stuff is also cut or changed. I think it got canceled, honestly. I think it was cut for more.
I mean, it wasn't politically
other reasons,
correct, was it?
Yeah. So everything else is just everything else is just shortened. So it's like cut out a core, like a verse or anything. That seems, I guess, that makes sense. So then you keep the characters and the storyline and everything else, but you just shorten it up.
Yeah, basically. So So some things, like, you'll look back, I'll look back on, like, old recordings and stuff like that, and I'll be like, oh gosh, that's not there anymore, like, that's had a, like, a three bars taken out of it and stuff. It's the weirdest, like, there's some weird cuts, but they were, Rug's really precious with cats, like, it's like their little baby, and so they had to be very much involved in it, and they were very, very particular about what was allowed to be cut, what wasn't. Royal weren't allowed to make any of the cuts themselves, it all came from Rug. And so whilst we were in rehearsals, like for the ball, for example, at times they were cutting bits out of the ball and teaching it. And then they'd come in the next day and they'd be like, right, we've had a new email from Rug and we're not cutting that anymore. That's not getting cut. Because at one point Copeland, because all the ball, I don't know how much anyone knows about cats, but all the balls split up into sections. So Copeland and Warsaw are the biggest sections. I'm doing the moves, but you can't see them. So at one point they cut parts of Copeland, and then they came in and they were like, right, yeah, we're not allowed to do that anymore. So when it all got sorted and everything, the ship was in dry dock, the Oasis was in dry dock, and all people from Rug had to come in and change all the automation, change all the lights, change the sound, everything. So it was all very much done by Rug and people that were affiliated with Rug. It wasn't Royal. Royal weren't allowed to touch it, yeah, and still aren't allowed to touch it.
Because your part really doesn't change. You're 15 minutes. You get your 15 minutes in both the full show and the 90-minute show, because there's really nowhere to cut for Grisabella.
Yeah. No, the only things that changed for me were she doesn't do the Gris dance at the end of the ball, so that's cut. Which I don't care what any Grizz says, and I don't care how much anyone loves it. It's not my favourite part. It's not. It's a lot. Like, it's, yeah, trying to get all these different emotions into this song, but whilst also keep it, this dance, but whilst also keep, it's still a bit over the top, but it's got to be quite, it wasn't my favourite. So that got cut. And the other big difference is it makes the quick change a lot quicker as well from Baby Grizz to Grisabella, because there's no there's like a verse. Oh, where? So what's that cut then? Because that's not Bustafer. So there's a cut.
Yeah, that's
there.
Much faster.
Naming. So it goes. Naming. Isn't Jenny? Into. But Bustafer's after. Bustafer's after. Thingy, so it goes Jenny Any Dots. Oh, there's a section cut out of Jenny Any Dots as well. Some of the taps cut out of Jenny Any Dots. So I think there's like a minute worth of the tap cut out there. And so that makes the quick change like a minute shorter. So you go from having like seven minutes 40 or something to 6 minutes 15 to get your full quick change in. Wow. I was like, gosh. Because then Bustafer's after Remark and Grisabella.
So you got to do both.
Yeah.
Was the main reason because you couldn't really do an intermission in a show where people aren't paying for tickets?
Well, supposedly the main reason was they'd wanted to do it for years and they'd said that it wasn't working for the ship and stuff like that, and they thought it'd work better and they'd tried to get it changed, but Rug were having none of it. And then supposedly Nick Weir, the head of entertainment, the king of entertainment for Royal Caribbean, bumped into Andrew Lloyd Webber at a, like, a benefit or something. I'm sure he would tell this story a lot more inspiringly than I'm telling it. But he bumped into Andrew Lloyd Webber and basically said, oh, I'm one of the people that puts cats on Royal Caribbean. And he was like, oh, right. Isn't it about an hour too long? And he was like, yeah, it actually is. And he was like, oh, get in touch with me about that. We'll sort it. And so that's how it got changed. But it's a weird one because, like, the theatre on the ship is ridiculous. It's like a 1,700-seater theatre. So even, like, when you're half full, you've still got, like, over 800 people in the theatre. And so when people leave at the interval, which everyone does, and not everyone does, because then there would be no one left, but which people did. But then people still leave by whether there's an interval or not. It's just an easier place for them to leave if there's an interval, isn't there? And it's a heavy show. It depends what time it's being put on, like who your cruise director is as to what time it's being put on, because if it's being put on at like 9:30, 9:45 at night, you're not going to stay until the end. So it's a lot of different factors, I think. I think it's a weird one, and it's a lot of contention as to why it does and doesn't work.
It's a fascinating one to me, because I've been on a few cruises a long time ago. It's been a while, and I always thought through when I first heard, and I guess it's been running on Royal Caribbean for like, 10, 15 years? It's been on for a while, maybe even more than that. And I kept thinking, like, I don't think I've ever seen, I've seen some stand-up comedians, I've seen some, like, you know, quick in and out things. I don't think I've ever sat through a show, let alone a 2.5-hour, 3-hour show, on a cruise where you're not paying for it, and there's a lot of other distractions on the cruise. So it wasn't one of the first time I heard about it. I was kind of fascinated by the entire concept, and then I heard they made it 90 minutes. I thought, that's great, because that's like a movie. That's like a, you know, the right length for being able to stay. I am curious, like, what type of reactions, and I guess since you did this multiple times, what kind of crowd reactions did you get, and how did you, like, what was that audience like, where it is something where they're not paying for the tickets, it's a optional activity that they have on a ship where they're on vacation, so it's a little different than when you go and buy tickets and proactively are going to the theater in Broadway or in the West End or somewhere else. Like, what is that? Like, how did you notice that difference? Like, what was that feel like?
It was, the difference was where you sailed out of. So when our home port was, and this is not meant as any form of offense to anyone at all, but when you sailed out, when we did a stint of sailing out of New York, out of New Jersey, and literally the house was packed every time we did it. Like, people would be like, oh, when's Cats gonna be on? We can't wait to see it. Like, we've come on here to watch Cats, and they were totally involved in it. But then when you went out of like Miami or Port Canaveral or something like that, where it's more of like a party situation and people weren't as bothered, or there were more children, or there were it just completely differed from show to show to show. I can honestly say, without a shadow of a doubt, the best house we ever had in my 3 years of doing it was the Atlantis cruise. Not this time. It must have been the beginning of 2020 or the end of 2019. The Atlantis cruise, which is like a gay events cruise. Honestly, Atlantis cruises were the dream. But the Atlantis cruise, and after Big Memory, I legitimately could not hear the music to Walk off stage to. I was like, I have no idea where I am in this music, because the house was wild. Like, and it was amazing. But then I also did another show where I did Big Memory, and I finished and I was like, oh my god, that went really well, I'm really pleased with that. And there was just silence, just pin drop silence, and I was like, okay, it's different. So yeah, I had to walk off in silence and was like, please, no one applaud, it's fine. I've just absolutely ripped my guts out on stage and I'm crying. But honestly,
did you look out?
It's
was
fine.
There just like not many people in the crowd at that moment?
No, it was really full. So I don't know whether it was one of those cases of people didn't really know what to do, or it was just really, maybe I was just really bad. Who knows? We'll never know. I once did the little memory dance. Did all of that, and then she like goes down into herself before she sings Little Memory, and I like did the like crumple down your shoulders slug and everything like that, and someone genuinely shouted out, you can do it. And I was like, oh no, I'm gonna laugh, this is not good. Yeah, So it just completely depended. I once got punched in the face during Green Eyes.
I've heard that before. Yeah. Even that happens. Oh, it scared the living daylights out of me when I was not prepared for it. So I'm not totally surprised, but were you able to finish the show? Like, if you got literally hit?
No. Oh, it hurt. I'm not going to lie. It proper knocked me for six. But I was like, you know, like when you're just kind of in shock. But for me during this production, I came out at the top of the stalls and then came down through the stalls and then went back round into the pros. And then I'd go straight on from the pros to open the show, so I never went backstage. So I was just kind of stood like in the archway, just being like, you're right, everything's fine, your nose is fine. It was like just a bit twinkly, and I was like, right, carry on, everything's fine.
Such wild stories.
Oh my god, what is this?
We're gonna get back to some of these crazy stories, but honestly, I want to talk a little bit about your experience with Cats before the cruise. Right. So how much did you know about it before you signed your first contract? Like, did you get to see it growing up? Like, were you familiar? Was Grizz always a dream for you, or was this just an opportunity?
I don't really have a huge relationship with Cats before the show. Before I was in it, I knew the song Mr. Mistopheles and McCavity because I once had a cassette tape that had them on. I think someone had once made a mixtape that I found and it had them on. I knew the show because I'm a complete musical theatre geek from like when I was about 14. So I've watched the VHS countless times, all of that. But it was never a show that I was like, oh, I need to be in this show. This is just so poignant and so amazing. And when I got sent through my casting for it, I was very much like, I don't want to do this. And I went through all my calls and everything and had like one-on-ones with the director and I got through to finals and I did the songs, did the sides, did all of that. Not that there's many sides because there's no speaking. And I could see the director like nodding his head and I thought, I've got this and I don't want it at all. And I was just like, oh God. So then did get the part and was like, right, okay, we'll go and do it. It's an opportunity, it's good. And then within the first couple of weeks had complete imposter syndrome because I was 30 years old, my first lead part, Grizbella, in this iconic musical, and I thought, I can't do this. Someone's made a mistake here and they're going to find me out in a minute and this is going to be awkward. But then I feel like I've really gone off track with this, haven't I? My relationship with the show was not a lot, really. But when I was in it, it's one of those things, and I think I've heard it on this podcast before, definitely, that as soon as you're in it, it is like a little cult. Like, you get indoctrinated into it, and they always say, like, the tagline's now and forever, and it's not for people going to watch it, it's from the people that are in it. Like, once you've been in Cats, that's it, now and forever. It will hold this hugely special place in your heart. Like, and I think most of that's because, as an audience member, you just don't get the insight that we do. So you go and watch it and you're like, what the heck is going on? Like, who has been smoking something and then created this weird show? But then we have all these like little intricate relationships and all these like little looks between each other that we're supposed to know and the audience should see. And you're like, they haven't got a clue. They don't know that I've just like looked weirdly at Jenny Any Dots and finally she's decided that she might actually start to warm to me. They ain't got a clue. They're just like, that's some nice singing.
That is the most accurate description. That is the most accurate description, which is a good transition because I think that's what it's taken me 90 episodes of this show to even remotely follow it as someone who's seen it twice live and a couple times of, you know, the 1998 movie and unfortunately 1.5 times of the 2019 movie. But I have, that's another podcast. But I do think that the relationships, and that's why there is a deep fan base for this, because there is so much happening going on, that there is those little looks. There is those things that you don't know about. Like, the twins are fascinating. The twins, you know, aren't something I knew anything about. And they're looking at stuff before it happens. And so what are the relationships that you were told about that you needed to play into? And what are, I know you said before we started recording, you've listened to some other Grisabellas who, because everyone kind of gives me a different answer. Some people are adamant that, you know, this is, that you're Bom and Demeter's mother. And others are like, oh God, no way. There's no way that could be possible. So what is your take on Grisabella's like relationships with the other cats?
Well, that's the amazing thing about this show, or what I think is the amazing thing about this show, but also makes it so hard to follow as an audience member. Nothing is written, so it can be whatever you want it to be. So every time I've gone back, I've played it a little bit different, and I've played the relationships a bit different, and who you're connected with differently, because the director on the ship is incredible. Like, Michael Clowers, incredible man. Like, he eats, sleeps, breeds cats, and he gives suggestions of maybe follow this route or that route, but will not give you any kind of like, this is what it is, you have to do this, be on this place for this. But it's completely self like driven, and then he'll be like, I like that, so what about now if this as well? And you're like, oh, brilliant, yeah, amazing. So, but I think my relationship theories are very different to a lot of grizzlies that you've had on here, I'm not gonna lie. So for me, Grizz and Old Jute were like the power couple of the tribe. So like, they were the, everyone wanted to, you know, like the, oh God, I was going to go to Towie then, but
it's a global cast. Is it Beyonce and Jay-Z?
Just like the absolute power couple. And they, so that's why Old Jute still got that soft spot for her and will still listen, because they've had this like intimate and like best friend, personal, everything relationship, because I don't think anyone's monogamous within the tribe.
Okay, wait, hold on. Who's the couple you were going to reference?
So I think they were like the apps.
No, who's the British or Irish? Like, who are you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say on like, on The Only Way is Essex. You know, like some, like, how at the beginning of The Only Way is Essex, it was like Mark Wright and Lauren Goodger and all of that, but that doesn't even stand
anymore.
I have
no idea what you're talking about, but I'm pretty
reference.
Confident somebody will, so that's why I want to make sure that you at least got it, because that person's going to be like, oh, it's spot
like,
on. No, they're going to
totally
be like, I got
wrong.
It. I totally agree with you.
But I think they're like the absolute power couple. They're the couple that everyone like either wants to be friends with or wants to be like, and all of that. I think Jelly was like her best friend. They were like, Jelly was quite in awe of Grizz, but they were like the same age and stuff like that. And so that's like their little thing. I think Jenny was quite jealous of Grizz, and that's why she's taken over like the mother role and like the dance teacher role, because Grizz was always like the best dancer, the best like looking, the best all of that. So when she left, that's what Jenny tried to like, mm-hmm, take over, like pushing on to people, you know, like very dance mums. And then I think, oh my gosh, this one's not quite a recent one. I've always thought that Monk is my baby,
okay,
with Old Jute, and that's why he's the next in line for the throne kind of thing. So maybe it's like Prince Charles and Diana. Ooh, as Old Jute and Grizz. Anyway, totally different story, because I always think of Monka Strap and Rum Tum Tugger as Prince Harry and Prince William. So Monk's like the Prince William and Harry's the Prince.
Wow. Okay.
Harry.
I don't think that makes sense. I haven't thought about
because
that one,
brothers.
But that one definitely lines up.
Right. So I always think that Monk's my baby, and I think that that's why he's got to be so like good and so against me, because he's got to prove to the tribe that he's nothing like me. And so they can't, so he's got to work even harder to be the best, because he's got this past of me being his mom.
That, Wow. I like that, because then it lines up, right? To like, there's a lot of animosity,
right?
But it's also like he wants to take over, and so to be the next in line, he's got to make sure that you know, all of that history is kind of out of the way.
Yeah. And then you can see that also that's why it hurts so much that he's always the one that shunned her last, and that he's always the one that's like, no way. And you're like, so in Remark and stuff, I think is the time where she's got like that little bit more like liquid courage. She's a bit like, who do you think you're talking to? I am your mother. Do not do that to me. And then when he's the last one to leave before Little Memory, I think that's why it hurts even more, because you're like, imagine like your like blood consistently turning its back on you and being like, no, you're not welcome. Wow. Here, you'd be like, so that's my relationship.
Yeah. What about Victoria, Bomb, Demeter, McCavity? Like, there's all these other potential parts to that.
Yeah. So I don't think there's a huge, like, I don't think there's a huge relationship between Bomb, Demeter, and Grizz, other than that they all kind of went through the same. But I think Bomb and Demeter, Bomb went with McCavity, but kind of like on her own terms, and got away from him on her own terms. I think Grizz got sucked in too deep and was not allowed back, but Bomb wasn't there long enough and was allowed to come back, kind of thing. But then the theory, I think the theory that was like spotted around during rehearsals and stuff, was that McCavity took Demeter to get back at Bomb for leaving him, and because Bomb and Demeter are sisters, so that's why she's so protective over Demeter, because she's like, no one will take you anymore. But that's why Demeter's so like skittish and stuff, because she never wanted to leave. She was like taken, so that's why she's like,
oh, yeah, that's one of the most like consistent things, is that Demeter was sexually abused by McCavity. And that's like well known as like part of it. And that's a really interesting piece, that it was like Demeter was revenge for Bomb leaving. I don't think I've thought about it that way, but it does make sense. And so you think Grizz also went with McCavity and went too long, and that's why she got shunned.
Yeah, I think that she got seduced by McCavity, and like seduced by a life that he could give her of like more than the tribe. I think she thought she was better than the tribe. She had everything within them and was the best of the best within it. But then I think he overplayed his hand and said that she could have even more, and what about the whole of London instead, kind of thing. And then she went with him and went down the partying route and all the everything else route, and just got in too deep. And it hurt even more for the tribe, because they thought that, well, they treat her as though she was everything, and then she just completely turned her back on them and was like,
what about Victoria?
No thanks, I'm gonna go. And Victoria, see, this is another one that I've listened to with other Grizzers, and I don't think that she's my daughter, because I don't think that she's old enough.
You left before.
I think that she's so forgiving. Yeah, and I think that she's so forgiving, and she's so doesn't understand how they can be so cruel to her, because she's only heard stories about what happened. I don't think she was ever like affected by it personally, because that's something that we used to get taught in rehearsals as well. Like, you need to know whether you have a relationship with Grizabella, or whether it's that you were too young to remember it, or whether you've just been told stories, or whether like you are her child, whether you're not her, like all of these things. And I think that Victoria is just one of those like pure innocents that just is like, I don't understand how you're all still being like this with her. She's just like shown us her everything, and no one's doing anything, and this isn't the family that I love. Like, this isn't the tribe that we are, so we need to do something. And then with the confirmation from Old Jew, goes along and whacks that little paw in.
We'll be back for more of this cat's catastrophe after a short break.
Hey, Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
All right, I have two more questions before we change gears. First one is, did you ever think when you got handed that mixtape, whatever weird mixtape someone gave you that actually had McCavity and Mistopheles and Not Memory or whatever else you got handed as a, I'm assuming a cassette tape mixtape, did you ever think that you would be able to have the conversation we just had over the last 10 minutes, that you would have dug that deep and thought about all the different relationships with Grisabella?
Definitely not. If you'd have told me that at the beginning of rehearsals, I'd have been like, don't be ridiculous. On the first day, when you've got to scrabble around on the floor in as a cat, and you're like, what am I doing? This is the weirdest thing I have ever done. Because no matter how professional you try and be, and no matter how like into it and musical theatre and theatre you try and be, someone's telling you to pretend to be a cat. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? Like, no, this isn't normal. Like, it throws things into the space and you've got to react to it. And it's like this full cat school thing. But I looked up and our old Deuteronomy was there, who has been my old Deuteronomy every time, Douglas Eskew, love you. And he'd done, like, the Cats International Tour, the Cats... US tour, done Cats on Broadway, like all of this. He's an incredible man. And he was just there crawling around, just being a cat. And I was like, well, if he can do it, I can certainly do it. And then you just get into it. And then you get so precious over it, like so precious. And you see other people like being cats and you're like, that's not how you're a cat. You're just putting your arms out. It comes from your back and like everything, like you sense things from your back and you set, like it's honestly, it's so ridiculous how into it you get, and it's so ridiculous how hard it seems at first and how quickly you can put it on after. Like if someone told me to be a cat now, I could do it. Like it's just like a switch that you flip. It's insane.
Wow.
But no, I never ever thought I would get this involved in cats. And like all these backstories, it's ridiculous. And the amount of times that I have these like epiphanies, when I had that epiphany in inverted commas about how maybe that's why Monk has to work so much harder, because he doesn't want my legacy tarnishing him. I was so upset that I'd put that on my son. I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna recolor everything. I was like, honestly, it's ridiculous how into it and how upset and like everything you get. Like the amount of times that I've been with Michael, the director, just an absolute sobbing wreck, and just been like, you need to carry on talking because I'm not going to stop this, so we need to just carry on going. And he's like, okay, right, so and then this and then this and it, like your family, this is your family and they're turning the, and you're just like, ah. Honestly, it's ridiculous.
I
honestly
love it,
but it's very cathartic as well, so
I
you
love
know.
It I think that's what's so fascinating about the show. If you had asked me 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I guess I saw the show the first time 6 years ago, I would have never said the same thing. Like I wouldn't have been able to tell you five character names, let alone that deep. I have two more crew specific questions. So one is, I heard a little bit about, there's some, I don't want to say animosity, but there's a little bit of a difference between the singers and the dancers in the show, as in like on the cruise. Is that Is that real as someone who's a singer? Like, is that, did you have to do, like, I know the dancers have to do some other stuff. Like, what is that experience like on the cruise when you are the headliner of, you know, as Grisabella?
Yeah, it is. There are differences. I won't lie. There are. The singers get their own cabins. There's about how many singers versus how many dancers are there? So there are four main female singers and four main male singers. Then there's another two. So there must be 10 that are classed as featured singers and 12 that are like dancers, but that's only like contractually. So the differences are, like, you get your own cabin as a singer. The pay is different, however, you know, cringe that is to say. And dancers have to do duties. So dancers spotlight and dress the aqua show and the ice show as well.
Okay. Yeah, I heard a little bit about it. Before we go to the rapid fire, are there any other crazy cruise stories? You know, getting punched or having someone saying you can do it, or like, what are the other examples from your time on cruise that you gotta tell?
So I think I have maybe four quick ones. So the one time when the tire was going up to the heaviside layer, it went up too far and crashed into the bridge at the top. But obviously myself and the old Deuteronomy, Doug, we didn't have a clue because we're stood on this tire, so you can't tell until it kind of went, and we were like, ooh, that was me, like, jerking.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, when I came off, like, through through the bridge and everything, everyone was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know how that happened. And I was like, what are you talking about? It just, like, shook a bit. But then when you watch the video, it, like, pure crashes into the lights at the top. So that was fun. One time the desk failed. And so we had to do two reshow starts because the desk failed. So the sound and the lighting and everything weren't in sync. And on the third restart, Monk came on and went, are you blind when you're born? And then, can you see in the dark? And then the whole stage just went dark. So she literally said, can you see in the dark? And everything just went into pitch black. And we were like, no, we can't. We're going to leave. And so we had to do a show stop. One time the tire got stuck halfway up. So Doug and I, the old Deuteronomy and I, were literally stood on the tire. I had to sit down on the tire whilst everyone left the stage, everyone left the theatre, and then we had to get a ladder down from the tire. So that was cringe. And there was one more. What was the other one? Oh, someone, we had a cast member fainted backstage because it was stinking hot and the aircon wasn't working. And so that's the other thing about the 90-minute version. I've gone off on a tangent again. About the 90-minute version, there's no break for the dancers.
Yeah.
So they do the ball, then they've got Little Memory, which is, what, a minute and a half, and then they're back on for Moments of Happiness. So there is no break at all. So it just goes from big number to big number to big number for the dancers. And so it's like, ooh. So that's not ideal. So we had, after the ball, our rumpeteaser fainted backstage. But as opposed to, we had a dep on the lighting. Nope, on the sound. Because our sound guy was in isolation, and so as opposed to just letting the whole of Little Memory finish and then just not carrying on, he just cut Little Memory as I was singing. So I literally went, another day is dawning. And just walked off stage.
Wow.
That was it.
It's so fun to hear the stories because it's always like, you know, it's live theater, so there's going to always be some stuff that happens, especially with the amount of times that you do it. So it's fun to hear some of the ones that go a little haywire. I can't, I just imagine, I'm picturing you sitting up on the tire, like,
Oh, don't.
Waiting.
That was not one of my finest hours.
For everyone to finish, for, you know, when you're supposed to be off already, but that's always fun.
You also don't know, whether to, like, stay in character, because, like, they're going to have to, like, get everyone out of the auditorium out, so it's going to take a minute, so you just kind of sat there like, okay, this is brilliant. This is a highlight of my career. I once fell onto the stage as well, because going onto the stage from the sides is down a spiral staircase, and I just missed the last staircase, so like fell onto stage. So that was another fun one. Yeah, good times.
Wow.
Absolute roadkill, just like splattered across the stage.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's do some rapid fire. You played Grisabelle for a while, but if you could just do any other character for one night, whether that the full show, the 90-minute show, who would you want to perform as?
Bomb Ballerina.
Bomb.
I could never play it. Never. I'm just not sexy enough at all. But yeah, Bomb. Or Tugger. Tugger's a good one as well.
So you just want to go out there and thrive and dance.
Just do whatever you want. Yeah. Just like absolutely live your best life and feel yourself. Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing. And absolute little known fact, everyone that's ever been in a catsuit, one of the catsuits, will now feel this with me. When you touch yourself in your catsuit, it feels so nice. Yeah. Like, not touch yourself like that. Let's not make it weird. But like, literally, when because it's lycra and it's so close to your body, you can like feel everything that you're doing. It's amazing.
Who are your favorite and least favorite cats?
Favorite cat would be... I don't know. That's a hard one. Probably Bomb and Tugger are my favourite, probably. Okay. Because they're just the most fun, especially when you get a good Tugger, when you get someone that's like proper into himself and just doesn't care, you can literally watch them all the time because they're just living the best lives. Least favourite, like as a character or to be?
As a character. As in like, which cat's personality would bug you the most?
Oh, Jenny.
Very Grizz Jenny. Answer.
Oh, just... She's just annoying. Like, oh, yeah, no, not for me.
What's your favorite song in the show?
I love Macavity because the song and the dance is great. But then there's two vocally parts in the show that I love, and that is when the open heart bit in Old Deuteronomy, when they all turn around and go, well, of all things, can it be really? Yes, right. And it's in like 473,000 harmony lines, and it just sounds incredible. It's like this wall of sound that comes at you. Love that. And I love the ending addressing when it does the, oh, God's entitled to you, it's 57 dancers. And that's in like 6-part harmony, and it's just, oh, amazing. We once did that we did like a concert, not a concert version, although I did try to do a concert version of Cats, but no one was having it, but I thought that would be hilarious. But we did it in a concert that we put on because we couldn't put the show on because it was too rocky. And we did the last bit like a cappella, and it was just amazing. I love that bit. Yeah.
So there was just too much, like, you know, the boat was moving too much, so you couldn't actually do the dancing, so you did the singing?
No, we didn't. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to do like an absolute concert version, you know, like the ones of like Les Mis and Chess and stuff, but no, we didn't do that. We did like the singers put on a concert, just of like musical theatre songs and stuff like that, and then we ended it with like some of the songs from Cats, just so then they'd get some of it. So I sung Memory, someone sung Macavity, well, Bomb and Demeter sung Macavity, and then we ended with Addressing.
The reason I asked is because I just learned about the most recent tour. They just came off break, but when the group that went out before, they were somewhere where the entire set didn't get loaded in, or something happened, like they couldn't actually perform in one night, and it was in Iowa, and they did a concert version, and so they weren't allowed to do the dance numbers because like they weren't allowed to. It was like they had to kind of hack their way around it because they couldn't have the exact choreography. If you weren't going to do it, then they didn't sing. So they kind of moved around, but they did almost the whole show with, in terms of the songs, but without a stage, without a set, or I guess on stage, but without a set or anything. And they called it a Cats concert. Cats in concert.
Cats in concert. Yeah. I think it'd work, but I just the ball is just, just incredible. Like, but to watch, to be in, like, every movement has a meaning, and it's just, I used to love in rehearsals, because obviously I'd never be called for ball rehearsals, but I used to love just sitting and at the side of the stage and listening to every, like, the meaning behind every move and everything, like, because it's so specific, and it's something like every, like, three or four bars has a different name, so you're like, right, we're going from honky tonk, we're going from hovers, we're going from slither, like, everything has these different names, and, like, they all mean different things, and then there's, like, the build up, like,
so getting the energy
from the floor,
so like,
from
so
the
strange.
Moon, and, like, then, like, exploding into the, just love it. Right, well, the orgy section is, this is how we got taught it. Like, the whole thing's not a great big orgy, just the orgy section in the middle is an orgy. And that's literally, taught as an orgy, to the point that, like, the arm raise is the finishing and all that. But then all the rest of it's like that the moon's, like, whipped you up into this frenzy because the moon's just right and all of this. That was another thing about, like, oh my gosh, I actually sound like I've got ADHD. This is ridiculous. That was another thing, listening back to other people's. I'd listened to, I can't remember. I'd listened to someone and she was like, yeah, I think it happens once a month because of the moon and the full moon. And I was like, literally the words of 12 lines are, Jellicles meet once a year on the night that we make the Jellicle choice. I was like, it's once a year. You get so specific about stuff, it's like ridiculous. Jellicle cats meet once a year. I don't know what your question was then. I'm so sorry.
So my last rapid fire question is, which cat do you think would be like the best cruise, like would be on the cruise and live their best life on a cruise? Okay, that was my answer too, but, you know, 90-minute version, he doesn't get a chance.
Oh, Buster for Jones, 100%. 100%. Okay. Do you think? Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's the thing. And I do think it misses Buster for Jones. I do love that song, and it kind of adds, like, a lightness to the whole, like, first act. But yeah. I understand why it had to go. But yeah, Buster for Jones would definitely live his best life on a cruise. He'd be eating everything. He'd love that everyone knew his name. Like, he'd have the same thing, like, to drink every night at the same time, and the same way to bring it to him.
I think that's the right
answer. Like, he'd have the same jokes that he told to everyone, wouldn't he? Oh yeah, he'd definitely live his best life.
All right, last most important question. I've argued at length that I don't think Grizabelle is the right jokal choice. So, do you want to defend yourself, or do you want to give me a different answer?
I am fully defending Grizabella, fully defending her. She's the only cat that, you know, has this huge arc where, like, she is, because all of the cats are changed during Moments of Happiness when Old Deuteronomy makes them, like, sit down and have this moment of lamentation. Don't know whether that's a word, but I'm using it. But she's the only one that actually goes from, like, I am steadfast in where I am, you will listen to me, I will be heard, to actually it was all me, I want to come back, it's all on me, this is what I've been through, but it's my own fault, please see me, please hear me, like, it's and it's her last chance. It's either, you can tell, or you should be able to tell that it's,
so let me ask you, let me ask you this.
Heaviside layer, or
the biggest thing I've been thinking about with Grizabella's defense, because there's a lot, you know,
so yeah,
she's
no, I think
in the top two in terms of names that get defended here. It's Grizabella and Gus most of the time, with some other arguments in the mix. With Grizabella, she comes back. She's being reaccepted to the family. She clearly needs to be reaccepted to the family. It's like she's gone so far off, and this is her chance back. Where I currently stand is, why don't you want to spend the year with your family that just reaccepted you? Like, you can rebuild your relationship with Monk. You can spend some time kind of figuring out what happened with Jenny and solve that. You've got Tugger, who's also your son. Like, won't another year, like, why aren't you next year's pick? Because another year I feel like would do you well. So you think she won't make it?
Because I don't think she's got that time. I don't think it's a choice of, like, is it being accepted into the tribe and having another year, or is it like not? I think it's this is it. This is either Heaviside Lair or in a dumpster, basically. I don't think she's got that time. And obviously because, you know, it's being reborn and not like dying, allegedly. I think that she's just, I think it's just like this final like acceptance and final bit of energy, because like throughout all the receiving line and everything, obviously she gets passed from person to person to person, like she can't physically do it herself anymore, and she gets the energy from the tribe to carry on walking through, and then all that energy that's pushing up the tire and all of that. I don't think there's a choice of will it be next year or now.
I'm not gonna I feel like that's a fair argument, and I've made plenty of cases against it. So here's my next question. I am interested to know, if you didn't come back this year, who do you think would have went? Like, who's Old Deuteronomy choosing if all of a sudden you don't show back up on the doorstep? Yeah.
Do you know, I think the really obvious choice is Gus, but that's because he's old. I don't think he's done anything like... He had good stories. But I don't like you get told in rehearsals that you sit down and you listen to him, and that's the first time that you've really listened to him. So if he was that big a part of the tribe,
told that
it
most of these people aren't hearing, like it's not
really
grandpa telling the stories over and over again, it's the first time you're hearing it.
So I just think it's just because he's old. So I don't know. No, so most people like, so we got told that it's that usually you're quite dismissive of him, because that's why he's got his carer and he's got like Jelly as his carer, but usually like you don't really listen to him, or you take the time to do something else instead. But because you've just been changed by Old Deuteronomy in moments of happiness, and this whole like he's given this this message through syllabub to the tribe, and that this is the first time that you really listen to him and listen to what he's got to say and stuff. So I don't think Gus is a great choice. I think it's just an obvious choice because he's old. So I don't really know who else has done good stuff. Well, Mister, to be fair, Mister's the one that should be rewarded, isn't it? Because he's the one that got Old Duke back.
That's the number one question.
Like
is it the same each year, and what is that? So I kind of love that you just completely ruined most people's Gus's argument here in the process of defending yourself. You kind of were like, here's exactly why all of you who have said Gus is completely wrong. I know, right? He's not going to make it to next year. He's totally worthless.
Like, put the final
nail in
Gus's coffin.
He's
this
senile old dude that's just telling stories to nobody except for Jelly.
Said his life was worth nothing. Oh, no. But then, what if, like, there was more than one old cat one year? Because at some point,
that's
like, Jelly and Jenny are basically the same age. So what happens then?
They need cats, like, too. I'm a firm believer of, I want to know all of the... I want to know...
That's why they need cats,
I need a prequel and a sequel. I need to know who was last year's pick. Yeah, I've heard there's been a couple, at least one person who was on tour recently. Hyla mentioned that she thought she was Victoria,
great,
that she was actually the one reborn. Like, she was last year's choice and be reborn. So I think that was the first time I really thought about who was last year, which you wouldn't get. It would just be some other crazy cat name, because they're all named weird things except for Peter. And so it's like, who's the cat you don't even know about? Mm. Yeah, there's a couple.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, Alonzo's pretty normal. Okay. There's a couple of normal ones in there. Cassandra's pretty normal.
Like,
but then
Victoria's
you get, like,
name's quite normal, isn't it?
Mistoffelees and Rum Tum Tunger and Skimble Shanks and Mungo Jerry and Rumple Teaser and all these other Monkish Trap.
Yeah.
All right. I've had.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you try and explain to someone that's not in musical theater.
The song that most people know from the show is yours.
It doesn't matter. She sings memory. That's all you need to know.
This has been super fun. How can people stay in touch with you and keep up with what you're doing?
I am on Instagram sometimes. I can't guarantee it will be very interesting as, you know, thus is life. But you will hear a lot more of this horrible accent, and I've just offended the whole of Yorkshire. But I maybe should have, like, said something at the beginning about, like, apologies about, you know, how bad this accent's going to be and how strong the accent's going to be. But I also do have a TikTok that's got a lot of cat stuff on it. And that's, I think that's just Robin Tempest. I'm not doing very well here, am I? I think they're both Robin Tempest. So Robin with a Y, Tempest.
Yeah. I'll link them. I'll link them so people can find them on find you on TikTok. I wish someone recorded your TikTok of you being stuck up on the tire swing, just sitting there for hour long.
I think there is a video of like when the thingy hit too high, but
that'll
be somewhere.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's out on YouTube or somewhere for you. It lives on. There's endless amounts of cats content on YouTube and the internet. So, amen. Well, thank you so much for being an amazing guest. This was super fun.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. I'll talk about cats until the cows come home. So, you know, here I am.
Well, I didn't think that was going to be my life, but now we're 90 episodes in, so
lucky boy.
Here we are. Continuing on. Well, thank you, and thanks everyone else for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.